And for today, that's Morning Edition here on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce. Thanks for listening. Dave Dickey joins us now with our opening commodity market report.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Oil prices slipped below $65 a barrel this morning, extending declines after data showed the U.S. economy contracted in the latest quarter, reinforcing expectations of a prolonged slump in demand. The negative Q provided by the U.S. data continued into Asian trade overnight, compounding the pressure from a generally strong dollar. The U.S. consumer confidence suffered its steepest monthly drop on record in October, according to a survey released this morning, as the worst financial crisis in generations continued to take its toll. The University of Michigan surveys of consumers said its final reading of its index of confidence plunged to 57.6% in October from 70.3% in September. The index was at its lowest level since a reading of 56.4 in June of this year. The University of Michigan Confidence Index dates back to 1952. Its record low was 51.7, which it hit in May of 1980. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now trading at 9,161. It is off just over 19 points. The NASDAQ at 1692 is down 5. The S&P 500 at 955 is down 3.5 points.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 5.71, down 2.5 on the open March, 5.84, down 7.5 at the Chicago Board of Trade. December wheat opened at 5.31, down 7 on the open March, 5.50, down 8.75. December corn opened at 4.01, down 8.5 on the open March, 4.19, down 8.5. May, 4.30, down 9.5. July, 4.41 1/4, down 8.75. September opened at 4.47 3/4, down 11.75. December of 2009, 4.60, down 9.5 on the open. November beans opened at 9.22, down 12 on the open. January, 9.29, down 14. March, 9.41, down 14. May, 9.54, down 11.75. July, 9.59, down 15.75. November at 9.59, down 13 on the open. December soybean meal opened at 278.50, down 4.80 on the open. January, 279, down 5.50. December soybean oil opened at 33.65, down 83 on the open. January, 34.20, down 77. October live cattle opened at 94.50, down 10, make that down 100 on the open. November feeders, 98 up 15. December lean hogs, 56.20 up 20 on the open. And February bellies, 86 down 75 on the open.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has offered farmers and ranchers a strategic consulting approach to manage both marketing opportunities and risks utilizing the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Joining us now to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
The more I look at these markets over the last several weeks, the more I am convinced that the linchpin to the future over the corn and the beans, maybe for the balance of this year, is the U.S. dollar.
It is, and you know, it goes back to we've understood very well that it's a safe haven, Dave. Whether it's right or wrong to be the safe haven, it doesn't really matter. It's a safe haven for the financial markets when they're worried about credit being too tight and the stock markets and equities going lower. It's also a safe haven economically, and as good economic data got released this week, the dollar corrected. If the data became negative and pointed back towards a recession, traders ran back to the dollar for protection, and that's kind of what we've been under the last couple of days. I think the ISM report, the Institute of Supply Management report from Chicago, that's also known as a Purchasing Managers Index, came out, and they had a really neat quote in there. It said that it holds out hope for moderating inflation while raising the fear of crippling deflation. And I think, not to make things too simple, but what we're looking at right now is when the dollar goes up, the market is pricing in a global recession and deflationary demand. And if the dollar would go down, then they're pricing back in a lot of extra dollars in the world market on cheap interest rates and an inflationary bias. And I think you're exactly right. That's probably where we're headed in terms of trade psychology all the way into the end of the year.
And I don't think you can look at the charts for hints at the moment from a technical standpoint on this.
No, you really can't, because if you've had such two big days of a sharp correction, that this could be a retracement to build another head of steam to go higher and take out the previous highs in the dollar. I think it really goes back to the fundamentals. A lot of people say the dollar is under technical rule, and that's true, but I would say, based upon what we've looked at the last 7 or 8 years of watching this dollar, it also needs the fundamentals underneath it to kind of keep it moving and keep the momentum and the trend on its side. And the Bank of Japan lowered their interest rates today by 20 basis points. The University of Michigan consumer sentiment numbers came out within expectations, but pretty poor. And then this ISM Chicago report came out. All three of those came in, and it bolstered the dollar and caused the yen and the euro to sell off. So, yes, there's a technical trend there, but usually if you look hard enough, there's probably fundamental numbers that would justify why the trend is what it is.
If you had to put me against the wall, I would probably say at this point it looks to me, Mike, like in the futures for corn and beans, that essentially we're probably going to trade in a sideways market maybe to the end of the year, but where the hay might be made would be in the cash market, particularly the beans.
Very possibly the case, and that's where it goes back to, you don't have to worry as much about weakening demand in beans because you've got a lower supply, and USDA helped us with that this week in a big way. I think one of the nice maybe hinge pins that we can look at here from this week's trade, Dave, to keep in mind is the way the copper has acted. The copper was the first commodity to push out of the gate and break free to the upside when the housing data came out. Both housing data, new home and existing home sales, came out. Copper ran sharply higher on ideas that, hey, we've got the demand back because the housing sector in the United States is back. And so that was a very interesting and I think a very good leading indicator. So we'd probably reiterate to producers, and tying it back to your cash market, we'd probably reiterate to producers the wheat, the copper, and the crude continue to be the major leading indicators. Copper has shown life. Wheat has not that much. And we've got some good micro fundamentals in wheat, but it continues to disappoint. We're only now back to around 30 cents from that major low we made last week after today's trade so far. So if we could get copper and crude and wheat to continue higher, then the futures market is likely to follow in the grains complex.
Are you looking for Fibonacci retracements in this wheat market, 1047, for example?
Still looking at those 38% numbers, that 445 to 460 level in the Dease corn, 1035 to 1050 in the Jan beans. I think the key with these three leading indicators, if we get the futures running higher and stronger, grains translate into a higher, stronger run. It's more likely the cash basis in beans will stay firm, may drop a little bit, but probably stay firm. It's probably the corn basis that may have the weakening aspect to it or the widening aspect to it. I'm not going to go too hard on that, though, because we are so behind out west in harvest progress. And so Monday's harvest progress report combined with the midweek weather is going to probably play a big role as to whether the corn basis widens out that much or not if the futures does gain some traction and go back higher.
What do we do then for producers who may have done some things like, they bought their inputs, for example, for 09 already, but they didn't do much selling?
I think the key now is we got within 20 cents of $5 in Dease 09 corn earlier this week. We got within 20 cents of $10 November 09 beans. If we get back up above those levels, those producers would be red flags and the priority number one to get them covered in some hedges, because then at least we know we can cover their break-even prices and maybe even make them a little bit if they have good yields. I think that's, we can't really do much right now, Dave, I don't believe, but I think that's something that we really have to keep an eye on.
What else are you following?
Well, mostly the cash market against the futures market. I think you bring up a huge point. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that we got to go back to is this harvest progress. When you're seeing, you know, states like Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota at 20%, we really need to be above 50 by next week's report, especially if bad weather's coming in, because what has been a bearish harvest number for the trade and corn harvest progress is now starting to become bullish as time goes on.
Thank you very much, Mike. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, too.
Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana, taking a look at the current tick. December wheat at 570, down 3.5 in Kansas City. At the Board of Trade, December at 532, down 6. December corn, 404, down 5.5. November beans at 926, down 8. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.